If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, listen.
Hey, out there. Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir. Hoo-ah. Scent of a man. Ha.
What a
current reference. Hey, we're here. We're here once again, another live episode. It's not technically live. I guess that's...
It's live in the sense that we are alive doing it.
We're recording it outside instead of inside.
Yeah, we
and
are.
I used live to mean that.
Yeah.
But I don't know
That was
why.
Okay. That was all right.
Another episode, Brink, coming to you live from Double Down.
From redacted California.
And that's what I was going to get at. I actually immediately want to start with a correction, because in the last episode, I shouted out Jason Wong's great set of novels, John Dies at the End, and the sequel that I read, but this book is full of spiders.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, actually, now that I had some time to think on it, in his books, the town is called Undisclosed, Undisclosed, Illinois, or something like that.
And in that time, I read all of his novels.
But yeah, but and so you already knew
it.
I was bullshit.
Right.
But this is Michael Swaim.
And this is Adam Ganser.
And it's One Upsmanship, where we talk about the works of David Wong, where we covered...
We should have him on sometime.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah.
Well, Small Beans...
I would love him to come on.
Small Beans only very, very recently got the ability to do interviews remotely and have them work technologically.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, our Tales from the Pit episode with Talia Jane was the first time that worked
out.
Yeah. So we can do that now, which brings back the possibility of... And, you know, a lot of our old pals,
I can't think of a person who I have met in real life who I found more interesting than Jason as a communicator of ideas.
Puddles the Clown, I'll say, because I met him. It's hard top him for interestingness.
That's
Puddles the Clown?
No, but that's a high bar of competition.
He's like a 6'4" clown who sings Lord covers.
Really?
In like sad mime face. He's an interesting cat. Soren and I bumped into him wandering around the streets of Canada holding a gas lantern on a pole, like a gondolier of yore.
What a strange conflux of events.
And he's one of Soren's favorites. Soren freaked the fuck
really?
Out. Like, got starstruck
wow.
and ran up. Yeah, I wouldn't have met him except that Soren dragged us over to talk to him.
Yeah, oh, I
get
see.
Pictures with him and stuff.
This is on probably a comedy festival.
This was at Just for Laughs.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
No, Soren and I, you know, we wander the alleyways of Canada sometimes.
I was like, yeah, he and I basically only make it up to Burbank once a year.
We got stuck at Just for Laughs in the elevator with Louis C.K., which used to be a thing I would brag about.
Oh, wow.
Not anymore.
Wow. What a bummer cool thing that happened.
I used to think it was
a
missed opportunity that I didn't talk to him.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, probably fine, I let it go. But today is a very special episode, because
it really is.
Rather than our traditional format of covering a particular game,
We're just going to dive. We're going to dive whole hog into our fanboyism. Those of you who've been listening to the show know that Mike and I both have biases.
But I hate to fight, and you love to fight.
We have biases, and this game is going to be an all-out emotional catharsis over the relevance, history, and emotional legacy of the Super Nintendo Entertainment System and the Sega Genesis.
Is that what you called it as a kid? Do you, hey, after school, do you want to come over and play my Super Nintendo Entertainment System?
I called it Super Nintendo.
That's what I called it.
You called it SNES.
My friends called it SNES.
I know people did, but you didn't have a SNES. So there's the beginning of the problem.
I'm also curious about what people called the position I'm defending. If you couldn't guess from our histories,
yeah.
I'm taking the Sega position.
Yeah.
No, I called it a Sega.
Yeah.
Until later iterations existed. Then I started calling it a Genesis to differentiate from the CD.
Right.
But I know a lot of people called it the Genesis right off the bat.
So
even though it's not the first Sega system.
No, they had one before.
They had the Sega Master System,
yes,
which
they did.
I also had.
Which is a great name for the first system they had. Yeah. The Master System.
Well, Final Fantasy I. Video games have a long history of naming things incorrectly.
Of getting a little ahead of themselves.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I want to say this. I mean,
well, you know how the Dreamcast made all of our dreams come true as if we were fishing for dreams and we finally landed the big one.
Oh, Dreamcast. We hardly knew
that's
ye.
That's another episode.
So this episode is not going to be overtly contentious for contentious sake, but it will
is
be.
It?
I don't know. Maybe it will.
Isn't it? You piece of shit. Isn't it? You human pile of garbage.
But we will be, earnestly defending our childhoods here, ideally respectfully, and at the end of it, hopefully, everyone will have both a comprehensive understanding of our respective biases, mm-hmm. and have come to the correct conclusion that Nintendo's the best.
So you. And of course, you'll text in your votes, and the loser's childhood will be erased from their memory as punishment.
Right. The end of this is basically Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Only you don't date anybody at the end of it.
Whoever loses, nothing. Right. I'll up it even more. If you lose, I will replace all your SNES memories with Genesis memories.
Wow.
You're going to plant
a lot of Kid Chameleon in there, huh?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Why would you start a debate with the piece of evidence I'm going to use to win the debate? You loaded the gun for me, my friend.
Now, I want to disclose a couple of facts for the sake of our listener. One is this idea is something we talked about doing over a year ago.
Calmer and you are.
Right?
Calmer and you are.
Finishing my coffee. But we talked about this like literally over a year ago before this podcast even started, doing this kind of...
We assumed we'd do it in the first batch.
We did. Yeah, that's how long we've been debating doing this.
And then everyone responded so well to just game by game that we're like,
let's just keep it rolling for a while.
Yeah.
The other thing is that Mike and I both have recently played the other person's game system games together. Mm-hmm. We did it together.
Yeah.
Like you and I did a tour of the Genesis in that package they recently sold.
They just released a pretty solid collection of 30 Sega classics.
A lot of them. And you and I have both been occasionally playing the mini SNES, which I've
another
purchased.
Very solid.
Really good. Yeah.
So symbolically appropriate that Sega and SNES both just dropped these like Criterion Collection, let's look back at our best stuff.
Yes.
And the Nintendo one is a physical piece of equipment.
That is exactly correct.
And the Sega one is software that you download on a Nintendo.
On a different system.
On
a different system.
Very telling and appropriate.
It's telling, it's appropriate. It also tells a little bit about the philosophies of these two systems, too, mm-hmm. that we should talk about. Anyway, so strap in, guys. We've been waiting to do this for a long time. Hopefully you will come and enjoy your...
I mean, I hope you come every
episode. I hope you come every day. Just get it out of your system, you know what I mean? Just start off the day right. Hopefully you'll enjoy this debate and feel free to weigh in with your own opinions on the Discord or various commenting places.
You're a master debater, you're going to come by the end, so...
Mostly it will be dick jokes.
We're all set up for success here.
Yeah. great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you said you wanted to start with your first rant.
Oh, I would rebut. I didn't say I would start, but I will.
I believe you did.
I started last episode.
Being that you are defending the Genesis, be the beginning of this conversation. Generate the conversation.
Then I will pass. I think we should pass branded checkpoints this time.
Blink.
So for my checkpoint going into my opening volley argument.
Right.
I'm going to pass. Should have had it on deck before
really
I set up the... Well, I mean, the easy one is the little bloop bloop balloon that Sonic passes, but I was trying to think of a deeper
cut.
Trying
to save it. Trying to save that checkpoint with the Sonic one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll pick up a third floating atom and turn from a Greek corpse into a golden wolf.
I like that.
As we move into me talking about why Sega Genesis is so great and better than Nintendo.
Let's hear it.
So if you grew up around the time I did and Sega Genesis was relevant to your pop culture experience, you will know immediately that it wins solely based on cool factor.
Cool factor.
All the arguments you are going to bring to bear, Adam, I predict, and don't interrupt, I'm just characterizing your argument for you ahead of time.
Okay.
Here's what you're going to say. You're going to bring to bear arguments based around things that only an adult and analysis can truly parse, like the quality of game balance, the care put into inventing different genres and subgenres, marketing decisions. That's not what matters to a kid. What matters to a kid is what's fucking fun and cool and awe-inspiring and engaging in a way that draws you in. And to me, you gotta start with the flagship characters, which are, of course, respectively, Sonic the fucking cool-ass, fully fleshed-out hedgehog who lives in an amazing anime world where he goes so fast that he turns into fucking lasers.
He sure does.
And he's fighting evil robots that want to destroy the environment. And Mario, who is a middle-aged plumber using, like, collected fruit to kill turtles to get to a girl that he is crushing on, I guess, but it's not really clear in the SNES days.
That's true.
I think that's, like, the kernel of my argument, but it goes across the board. And I think...
That Sega is essentially has cooler mascots.
Not just mascots, but a cooler vibe all throughout.
Okay.
And, like, they're more Banksy, and Nintendo
Banksy.
Nintendo is more Google Doodles. Like, very thoroughly vetted, carefully considered things we know will work.
Okay.
With no particular weight put into any story decision, because we don't want to alienate anyone. And we already have this sprite of this middle-aged mustached guy. And why did we make him mustached and give him overalls? Because it's 8-bit, and that's the only thing. It's 16-bit, but when he was first invented, that was the only way to differentiate his arms from his body and his mouth from the top of his face, was to give him a mustache and overalls. So these decisions were literally made for totally functional reasons. And I think basically Nintendo's a bunch of nerds.
Oh.
Who sit around fascinated by what can this machine do? What's the future of, like, this abstract binary technology that lives inside this box? Sega was a system for kids who are children, who are in the middle of enjoying the best part of life.
Interesting.
And getting home from school and just being like, what would be cool to turn into a tiger that breathes fire, to run fast and have an echidna friend?
Okay.
Like... to fly and shoot dragons out of the sky.
Make sure you mention the names of these games that you're referencing, just for our benefits.
Well, I think I will do that a lot more in the main version, but I already got my Sonic kids on my side. They know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Detach your own head and use it as a weapon. That could be either Dynamite Heady or Decap Attack, two great Sega games.
Okay.
Whereas Nintendo, I do grant, is always innovating in the actual functional gameplay mechanics world. That doesn't matter to a kid, and I think this should be all about how those things, the whole, like, the nugget of feeling this system left in our hearts. And to me, upcoming live-action movie notwithstanding.
Oh, boy.
Sonic the Hedgehog is a well-defined character that we all have feelings about in the same way that we do about Han Solo, say. And
are they the same feelings in your mind?
Similar. He's a badass loner who's going to get the job done and be like wisecracky. And is cool looking to draw. Like that's even, I think that's pertinent to an argument about what was important to childhood. And
that's one you come back to a lot in this podcast.
Well, and I would argue that Sega was more open to not sanitizing cultural artifacts, meaning Sega released a lot of games that were made for a Japanese audience first, way more than Nintendo. Or actually, I mean, Nintendo aimed for a Japanese audience, but they also did the Pixar thing from very early on,
right,
where they realized, well, why is Mario basically nothing? Why is Link such a cipher? Because then it can port to America and the kids will like it just as much.
Right.
But I really admire that Altered Beast is fucking weird, because there are tropes that are probably way more normal in Japanese culture, but were weird to me. So as a kid, I was getting exposed to like an American video game would never have a boss that's a Venus flytrap full of eyeballs, and you're literally in hell, like the walls of hell are dripping with slime, and you're a dragon that spits lightning bolts. That would get sanitized out into something a lot more mass appeal-y, especially that era of gaming. But Sega was the, that's why I compare it to Banksy. Sega was the system that had the weird games where you're like, what is this? All right. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll end with, I think that being cool in the 90s way has become lame. So if you see that through those eyes, I get why you would be like, but that wasn't really cool. But it was then. You just have to believe me if you're much younger than me. Sonic the Hedgehog was not cool in a hokey way. He was unironically, like, he came out and you're like, oh, forget Mario. Sonic's cool. Mario's like a dork compared to Sonic.
Basically their sales pitch for Sonic.
Look at this dork. You want to play as a middle-aged plumber?
Mario who?
Or do you want to play as a fucking cool guy?
Right. That was their pitch. That was exactly their pitch.
And I think that carries through in their game roster.
Yeah.
And that ethos is what makes, I think, the Genesis ultimately a more interesting historical artifact than the Super Nintendo will be, say, 50 years from now. Now you have to pass a brand appropriate checkpoint. Sorry.
Okay, but I'm doing a rebuttal first, right?
Yes. So this will be Adam's rebuttal to my Sega argument.
Right. So I'm going to pass a strangely Swiss cheese-shaped planet from overhead, a la Toe Jam and Earl, right into our conversation, my rebuttal to this. So I just want to summarize what I think your argument has been thus far. One is...
I'm Michael, I'm stupid. Would have been a good move, though.
First is Sega was cooler, right? Second was...
And as a follow-up to that, that being cool...
Had cachet in
mattered
the
90s. Tangibly then in a way that it doesn't now.
I think it always matters. I just think that they leaned on
cool
it.
What is cool has changed.
Yeah, and they leaned on it very heavily in the 90s.
Sure.
Two is that it was more in tone with what kids want. That was an argument you kind of made. Right? Like isn't it cool
I'm
to draw
not
this
to
stuff?
I'm trying to interrupt, but for the sake of clarity, I think what I meant, if I didn't phrase it correctly, is that the games were more specific and mysterious, and therefore fired my imagination much more than Nintendo games, which seemed homogenized as if a mothership was overseeing the production of all of them.
That's interesting. Okay. Those were the two main points I thought you made.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So now I'm going to give you some impressions that I have of Genesis. Now, I never had a Genesis. I played it at some friend's house. I've played it a couple of times. I've played through a bunch of Sonics and some other games. My impression of Genesis is that it is a lot of arcade ports, like a lot of arcade ports, and that it's aesthetically derivative of arcade games in a way that Nintendo is not. It also leans heavily on capturing other forms of media. So, for instance, what was the name of the game that you're playing the comic book character?
Comics Zone.
Comics
Zone. Incredible Genesis game.
It was a really cool game, but also it's a game that's like, if you like comic books, this game's about comic books.
Yeah, like, but also if
that's
you
what
like,
it's about.
If you like Streets, if you like a solid like Streets of Rage walking around punching people game, you'll like it for that reason.
Yes.
You didn't have to like comics only.
But no, of course not. It's not just that.
Right.
But it's definitely leaning into sort of adapting other media. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a thing that Genesis did a lot.
Yes.
And Nintendo doesn't really do that much. And I'm going to argue at some point in this podcast that that's because Nintendo's more original than Sega is. But I'm going to give you those points because I think those are interesting. To some degree, arguing that it meets children where they are more is kind of subjective. It definitely met you more where you were as a kid, and I would never argue against that, because knowing you as a human being, even as an adult, you still have a Sega vibe in a way that Nintendo doesn't.
I am very cool.
Yeah, very cool. But also, like, you like weird experimental kinds of comedy, movies, like, and Sega did a lot of that stuff. Mm. Nintendo is CBS. Like, Nintendo, and I'm not saying that everything they make is boring or bland or bad, but they are dependable, and everything they make is fucking good, and if it doesn't come out good, it doesn't get released.
Would you say everything on CBS is fucking good?
No, but it performs. You know what I mean?
Okay, okay.
And it's also made for a mass audience.
Yeah.
Like, Nintendo is made for a mass audience, and so I'm gonna move now past the first ever second layer side-scrolling backdrop of Super Mario World, right, when the 16 bits finally hit. Remember that? They had two layers
of
backdrop.
Just be clear. Oh, that was the first game to have parallax.
It was
right?
The first time Nintendo had it. I'll just say that. I don't know if it's the first game ever, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know yes
I remember
or
it.
No.
I remember vividly when I was in sixth grade.
You're like, that hill moves at a different rate than that. It looks 3D.
That weird diagonal rectangle, it's moving different speed than the one in front of me. And I'm going to pass that checkpoint and start talking about the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
So wait, this is a transition?
I'm transitioning.
That was the end of the rebuttal, just to be clear. Okay.
Yeah, because I don't want to take down all of your points. I want to save that. I'm just saying these are some arguments I'm going to make against that later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't pull out the Stone Cold Stunner right at the top. You got to put some things in your pocket.
No, first I give you the middle fingers, and then I do a couple. Yeah.
It's all about the game.
Yeah, man. I do the Luthes press. You know how I do it. anyway, so...
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid back appeal and down home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Super Nintendo Entertainment System, in my opinion, is the best video game console ever made. It's debatable, but it's certainly in the top two or three, beyond question, in my opinion. Super Nintendo is, I would argue, a refined, perfected version of everything that Nintendo did well in the 2D era. And they have all of their major franchises, except for Smash Brothers and I think Pokemon, launched effectively on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. And the Super Nintendo has great versions of all of their major franchises. Super Mario World, maybe the best game of all time. Link to the Past, one of the top 10 games of all time. The Donkey Kong Country games. Super Mario Kart was launched on this console. Star Fox was launched on this console, even though it's kind of clunky now when you play it.
Star Fox
is a little bit ick now, but it was cool in 64.
I would argue Donkey Kong Country is less good than the rest, but yeah. No, I was actually just going to say yawn. Like, that's the thing, is none of those things fire the imagination of the child in me.
You're jumping in on my rant.
But I was going to give you.
Yeah.
Star Fox is almost as cool as Sonic.
Get real. Get your spiny, ridiculous robot asshole out of here.
Maybe I'm just a furry, dude.
Maybe you are.
Of a small animal shooting and flying through space is the epitome of cool to me.
Right. So I'm going to make it a more robust way now also the point that even though Nintendo franchises itself excessively, and it started here, that every single thing that that Nintendo made into a franchise was based around an excellent, perfectly executed core gameplay mechanic that still to this day defines the genre. I include Mario Kart in that. I include Super Mario World in that. I include all the Zelda games in that. Those games, to this day, still define the genre. I also would argue that, yes, perhaps it's more interesting to watch your weird slime monsters and your bizarre robot kidnapped animal video games.
We'll get into specific games more. You clearly are not well-versed in Genesis
games. I'm not as well-versed as you are. But I would argue that just because it's not strange, or it's not remote, like it's not always super differentiated, doesn't make the things Nintendo does and creates not imaginative. It's like your argument is like saying Disney movies aren't that creative because they all feel like Disney stuff. It's like, yeah, well, Disney stuff is the best of that genre, and then everybody else has to differentiate themselves from that genre because Disney owns it so thoroughly.
No,
is what Nintendo has done and started doing on this console.
I would argue that Disney movies are not creative because they are all rip-offs of public domain stories.
You mean narratively they aren't?
For the explicit reason that those stories are in the public domain free to adapt.
Sure.
That's the laziest decision an empire's ever been built around, with the possible exception of Amazon, where the richest man in the world, the only idea he had is, what if you shipped it to them?
Well, Nintendo, fortunately for all of us, all of their IPs are mostly based on original concepts, even if they're playing on old tropes or whatever. Nintendo, like it or not, is Coca-Cola. The fact that Sega Genesis is RC Cola plus maybe a little bit of Pepsi plus maybe some Sprite doesn't mean that it's good. It just means that it had to compete against Coke and it had to be
dismissive.
Different.
Doesn't mean it's bad.
I'm just telling you what it is. You were dismissive with your, you can draw, these characters are better to draw? Says who? People, like, who says? You say. No, that's not good enough.
Link's okay to draw.
Sure.
I mean,
Star Fox is great to draw. With his laser gun, and it's like, you know, he's like snappy little nose. He's great.
But Sonic has three distinct head spikes.
Oh, wow.
That's very cool. It's just a cool shape.
All right. I've heard your cool point.
We can break it down to the point of like, I know a lot about animation design, and there are character design reasons that Sonic is cooler looking than Star Fox or anyone you mentioned. For example, one of the main, I think, successes of Team Fortress Classic was that they realized that in Battle Royale games, and other games have adopted this, rather than making everyone look like a photorealistic soldier, they should be cartoony so that their silhouettes are easily differentiable at a great distance, so that when you're playing the game, you go, oh, there's an engineer. Because you don't want lag time where you don't want confusion to be the feeling you're having.
I just want to jump in and say,
Sonic follows that rule beautifully.
I'm going to grant, I will not have a legitimate argument against Sega's Sega having created a more diverse set of artistic tones But it never made a tone that was mass appeal or successful at the same level Nintendo did. And that started on this console cycle, in my opinion. Again, if you went through almost any single video game list of the greatest games of all time, four of them would be on this console, maybe more. So I'm going to let you do your rebuttal now.
Well, just tell me when it's my time, man.
It's your time, buddy.
All right. In that case, I'm going to pause the game, scroll down to save, which will load a 64-character string, alphanumeric string, which I then write down in order to input perfectly later to recover my saved game. And if I type one character wrong, the game is lost.
God, I hated that.
That's from King's Bounty. Great Sega game. With maybe the best video game song. I do think that theme is up there with the Mario theme.
Okay.
The King's Bounty theme is fucking raw,
I haven't heard that one, so but I'm not going to argue with you about it.
You would if you heard it, because I'm sure you still feel like... You have to admit there's no way you could be unbiased about how good the Mario theme is.
I don't think anybody can be unbiased about how good music is for
that
a thing
is,
they love.
But right, that is like the Coke, where it's like, I don't have an objective feeling about how Coke tastes. It's too late now.
I don't know how good Star Wars opening credits music is. I just know how I feel when I hear it.
If an alien could figure it out objectively.
No, it's actually a lot worse than the theme from Her. Okay, fair enough.
But as far as my rebuttal... I really think I'm realizing that this may evolve into more of a differentiation of styles, which is great because I love when in a lot of the podcast episodes, we like to think either devolve into a big philosophical understanding that we didn't know we could get out of a game or an understanding about ourselves or human nature. And it is interesting that the Coke and Pepsi analogy, because it makes me wonder. Because it can't have been intentional, but if there is some in some mystic way there is like, yeah, Sega existed because there are two types of people. There are people who want highly polished and produced homogeny that is at a high quality level because it feels comfortable.
Right.
And they want to know what's the game?
That's most people, by the way.
I don't know.
But numerically, that's true.
I know you didn't research for this, so that is talking out of your ass.
No, but I'm
and
saying
you say it with
as
crazy
a type
confidence.
Of person, like, take video games.
You
out
haven't
of it.
Run a study
use
on this.
CBS,
you don't know that.
But use CBS as an example, right? All the highest rated shows on television, like for the last like 15 years, they're all on these networks by people who like things that are frankly less artistic and enjoyable than,
but
say...
But by and large, everyone's entertainment time is going to Netflix, which is famous for very diverse content and investing in almost anything, even weird shit.
But you understand that largely what I'm saying has been true throughout history. The things that are the most watched and most viewed and most consumed items of entertainment, in general... are the homogenized mass main market
and
things.
And I don't perceive that to be true. I have found that historically, the things that suddenly break the mold and make more money than anyone thought could make, it's because they stand out from the homogeneity. Star Wars was not going
Star
by
Wars
the book
is a
at
unique
the time.
Example.
No, it's not. That's always what happens. Andy Warhol became that famous because he's not that smart. Like, I don't think Andy Warhol's that gifted, but he went, I'm going to do the opposite of what everyone's doing. Boom. That always works, dude. Like,
you know what it is? It's that I didn't say the words I believe in front of everything that I say.
Yeah.
I don't need to do that. You guys can like figure out that's my opinion.
I believe
that is what this podcast is.
I believe
my
that
opinion.
You do if you're going to throw around phrases like, and the numbers bear this out.
I believe they do. I'm just telling you, I believe they do. I don't have them in front of me, but if I did, I bet you I would be right.
And I believe you believe that. I forget what I was saying about Nintendo.
Yes!
But you were
arguing that...
I was actually being very...
There are two kinds of people.
I was being very non-argumentative and trying to open it up to the idea that we could tie because... each system might be more appropriate for a different type of person.
Right.
But yes, so I don't disagree with you that Nintendo is CBS.
Yeah.
But to me, and I'll end my rebuttal here, you just said the exact words I would use to attack your argument.
I knew that you
Nintendo
would say that.
Nintendo is CBS. Who likes CBS?
Right. Well, I didn't say that they were in all respect CBS. I said they are CBS in as much as...
I don't
they
like create, Coke either.
They, great. But they are those things in as much as they are the brand defining mass market things, and that in large part, Sega has had to create content to differentiate itself from Nintendo's things.
Yes, and I think because of that added challenge, they rise to the challenge and make more interesting things.
And that might be true.
And we're just talking about Genesis versus SNES.
Yes, that's
I'm
right.
not talking about the recent sad history of
no,
Sega.
No, and I'm not going to use that as an argument in
you
these.
You could easily,
in this. Yeah,
and that would
gonna.
Be unfair.
It'd be stupid. it wouldn't help.
But because Nintendo has such ingrained franchises and those franchises are built around functionality.
Again, the Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo, yeah. Right. But even within Super Nintendo, what is Mario Kart? You don't say, oh, it's that one with the scene where Peach has the really impactful change of heart, because that's not what it's about.
You mean there's no narrative that you...
I'm just saying that's not what you're remembering.
Right.
You're not even saying, oh, it's that one with this really cool-looking monster. You're saying it's the one where you do this, right? Nintendo remembers the games
largely.
Are games. And I'm not setting that up as a bad thing.
Right.
But I'm saying their entire focus is, yeah, Zelda's the one that's like this, where you do these things. That's what defines their franchises. And because of that, I think the homogeneity does become tiresome.
Zelda is the one franchise that is the exception to what you just said.
Well, so is Mario in the sense that life threw them a curveball and was like, well, guess what, motherfuckers? Now you got to deal with 3D.
Right.
And again, the challenge, I think, brought forth greater work than they had done up to that point.
For sure.
Well, Super Mario World is fucking dynamite. But I also
those two games are the best in the franchise.
But I do think Mario 64 was like, a challenge inspired an even newer innovation that's also great.
Yeah.
Whereas if you care about things like tactically, what is it? So if you were a kid who played Dungeons and Dragons or Magic cards, the reason you cared about Magic the Gathering over Pokemon cards was that I don't care if the Pokemon gameplay is tighter or the strategies are deeper. When I play Magic, I'm looking at beautiful artwork of fantasy shit, and I'm thinking about it and imagining myself being in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And Nintendo has nothing to feed that part of me, and Sega is all that.
No, wait. It doesn't have nothing to feed that. It has less. Like, you have this way of, like...
It has none, and I have the numbers to
back this up. No, you do not. This is insane. You have this way of marginalizing the other side of your argument to a point of, like, making them into a scarecrow opponent.
Yeah, it's called a death debate maneuver.
No, it is not. It's called a fallacy.
Wait, what is, though? Explain.
When you're reducing the actual scope and impact and reality of the opponent in order to make them seem ineffectual because of the strength of your position.
And that's what's so reductive about you making a blanket statement about a game you've never played.
I just said I think it was worse. That's all. I mean, I'm happy to live with it. And I have been this whole time. I've been living with it.
Okay.
Anyway.
We need to think of a co-branded...
These emotional Sonic moments. I love it.
I have the feeling that if people click on this episode, they want us to get a little heated.
Yeah.
So
we're giving what they want.
The people what
we're giving what they
for.
Want.
It's not fabricated, but at the same time...
It's over the top.
We're letting it.
Yeah,
we're
yeah,
letting
yeah,
the
yeah,
passion
yeah,
overtake
yeah,
us yeah. because that's our job as your avatars
it
right
sure
now.
It sure is.
But let me ask you this. Can you think of a co-branded Nintendo Sega game style checkpoint that we can both pass with our hands held?
Didn't they have an Olympics where they were together?
Okay.
Didn't they pass the Olympics?
Sweaty palm and sweaty palm, we pass.
We march through the game.
We
on.
March grimly through past the starting gun of Sonic versus Nintendo Olympics. Me as Sonic, you as Mario, both of us just looking at each other like...
With grim sadness.
We gotta do this, really?
How is Sonic
they
not...
They promised us a shoebox full of 20s, I guess we got it.
How is Sonic not part of Smash Brothers, by the way?
He is.
Is he?
Sonic is playable in Smash Brothers Ultimate, the new one. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm excited about
Dynamite.
That. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure he was in the Wii U one as well.
I didn't know that.
I skipped Wii U, so I'm not positive, but I'm fairly certain he was.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm excited about that. Okay, cool.
He's good, and, I mean, we'll do a whole episode, but Mega Man is super fun.
I haven't played the new one much yet.
Pac-Man is really fun to play as,
okay,
too.
That's
Smash,
great.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me lay out a couple of my bigger guns now, right? Mm-hmm. And I just want to, and there are questions for you.
He's taking his shirt off, ladies and gentlemen.
And I have raging biceps.
Welcome
None of you
to
have
the
seen
Gun
it.
Show.
So... the first one is, list for me the three or four most memorable Sega mascots.
You're walking me into area that
me.
You know you'll win at, so I'm going to say...
But that's how this works.
I see what you're doing,
yeah,
but
go
I'm
ahead.
Happy to...
Go ahead.
I'm happy to take the blow.
Sure.
Sonic, the end.
Sonic? Who else?
No, that's the end. As far as things that pierce the cultural zeitgeist, that's it. There's characters from the Sega Pantheon I care about.
Sure.
But I would not argue they ever reached a level on par with Sonic or Mario.
Why not?
Whereas from the Nintendo-verse, other mascots have reached Mario's level.
Yeah. Not Mario's level,
but Donkey Kong's a few steps below, but I would argue
Samus.
Link and Samus. Star Fox is also second tier, but yeah. Like... It feels like an ensemble cast of a bunch of characters that are all very famous, like right. The Star Wars universe.
Right.
The Sega universe, it's the Sonic cast, and that's it.
But it's not the Sonic cast, it's Sonic...
People know Tails.
And Tails, yeah.
And Dr. Robotnik, but that's the extent of it.
I don't know if they all know him, but sure.
I would say when you shout Sonic to people on the street, as I often do...
Yeah. They're like, Robotnik!
They'll say, yeah, Sonic Robotnik, Chaos Emeralds. Those are the things they remember.
Chaos Emeralds. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So here's what I think that means. And I'm happy to hear you rebut it. One is your first point was that Sega was cooler. Now, to be cool means that you have to have captured a sense of cultural importance and significance, right? Like, that's what being cool means. When the argument is that Sega was cooler, then the fact that it doesn't have any lasting mascots sort of undermines that point.
You're now minimizing my argument, which you already fully elucidated, so I know you're doing it in an underhanded way. It was not that it's cooler alone. It was
that was one of your points.
It was more mysterious and engaging in a way that fires the imagination of a child.
Okay, but then that's the second
point.
And
that's more important than being cool.
The mysterious...
So
I'm happy to grant that this is true, certainly in your case.
Mm-hmm.
But the other point you just made, that it's more created more imagination. So if that was true, why didn't the characters inspire more memorability?
Obviously because of the sheer fact that Nintendo still exists and Sega doesn't, and they made the most money. It's only repetition. So I would argue that people remember Han Solo because of his traits.
Right.
People remember Link literally because they've seen him every 2 years on packaging and advertisements for 20 years. There's no other reason. He has no compelling traits.
I mean, first of all, you don't have data about that. That's just your opinion.
That is my opinion.
Right, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
So, but second of all, I don't think that actually correlates to how memorable things happen.
But my point is, fine, the
I don't think that's actually true.
But the Coke logo's famous, so I don't see what that grants in terms of firing the imagination. Yes, people remember Mario because there's been 45 Mario Brothers games. That doesn't make Mario a well-conceived, well-designed character that fires the imagination.
But I would say you
can't... That doesn't make me want to see, wow, the universe is so rich, I want to see a bunch of stories in the Mario universe. No one's saying that.
But see, the problem is that what you're suggesting is, well, because there's 45 Marios, we remember him. But the fact is, we couldn't have 45 Marios if we didn't already care about him. Like, what you're doing is setting up a false narrative in which, yeah, Nintendo just sort of suckered a bunch of people into liking their video games because they're well-designed, fun toys, not because they're imaginative or interesting or good. And then people just kept buying them, and then because of that, everybody remembers them. No, I don't think so.
I didn't say they're not good. I said they're not imaginative or interesting.
And I would say they might... I don't think you can prove that, and I think you could make a very compelling argument that the opposite is true.
No one can prove whether something's interesting
or
not.
No, but I would say your argument is not compelling because the fact of the memorability of all these characters also suggests that it inspired imaginations more than it suggests the opposite.
What I'll grant is the reason Nintendo still exists is they have a much smarter business strategy that's a lot more conservative. And that usually wins out in this world.
Yeah.
That does not mean the art is better, in my opinion. In fact, it usually means your art is less interesting.
Are we just arguing about, when you say art, you mean, what do you mean by that? Like, define that a little bit more in this
case.
And
I think that's why it boils down to just being different. It's funny because when it comes to filmmaking,
yeah,
I'm a hardcore formalist.
Right.
I am much more interested in the nuts and bolts of what the director was thinking when they made it.
Right.
Video games, I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
Weirdly, even though
that is weird,
video
actually.
Games are games, so they're based on sets of rules and interactivity. In video games, I'm much more looking to simply be immersed in a story that fires my imagination, which I've decided is the slogan that I'm running with on this this Pro Sega Genesis platform.
And I'm okay with that. So
is that Nintendo, including the SNES, only fires my imagination when I recognize the intense level of scrupulous thought and design and math that went into tightening all the nuts and bolts, making it perfect, and making the screen, like you said, scroll and parallax for the first time,
right,
and Mario jumps perfectly,
right,
and the game has more functionality than any platformer up to that point has ever had.
Right. And it's fun, more fun to play than most
it's more fun to play with, yeah, in the toyetic way, but
yeah,
to me it is not an evocative world to be in. I'm playing it because it's so fun. I'm never lost in the game. I'm always, mm-hmm, and this is true of most Nintendo games, and I don't think it's a fault because I don't think they want me to be.
Yeah.
Although, recently they've been doing a cool thing where they get you lost in just the general tone of the world, like Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
But back in these days,
yeah,
which we're rigidly sticking to, I feel that their first foot forward is and always was, for SNES, gameplay forward. And the mere fact that, yeah, I remember Donkey Kong, doesn't make him a good mascot because I remember he exists.
Okay.
And if you ask me what Sega mascots made an impression upon me as pieces of art,
well,
Rystar, DeCappy Head, the kid from, I don't think he has a name, Kid Chameleon.
He doesn't have a name?
He's just called Kid Chameleon.
He looks like a, what's he supposed
Troy
to be?
Like
a, sure does.
He's a kid who gets sucked into
like
a video
jean
game.
Is he like a jean jacket? Is he like an 80, like a James
Dean
ripoff
like
kind of?
He's a cool kid with a white shirt with a cigar. A cigarette pack rolled in the sleeve kind of deal.
I think that game is actually like underrated. I think that game's really good.
Especially considering that it has 99 levels. It's just,
yeah,
I was able to get more hours of gameplay out of that game than any other game of that generation.
I like that game a lot. Okay, so, and you've heroically battled back on this, and that's fine, and I'm fine with that. I think I can agree that when I played the slate of Sega Genesis games with you, the thing I kept saying over and over was like, wow, this is like, this is a really diverse palette of games.
Yes.
And it is.
And what it boils down to,
there is not that on Super Nintendo.
That's my primary argument.
Yeah.
And that's why I realized that we may be arriving at a place where, as all debates do, oh, they're qualitatively different. There's no way to choose a perfect winner.
Well, I want to make a couple other arguments and see how you feel about them. So one of them is Nintendo actually, in this generation, won at RPGs. It has the most memorable RPGs, I would argue.
And is that something the best ones. Give a shit about?
I think you should because of how much you care about story.
I think
you're pretty passionate about story. But in this generation,
PS1 had baller RPGs.
I would say that might be a little later, that generation. I don't know if that's the same generation. Because when did it come out, like 5-6 years later?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I think it's like, or it's sort of in between generations, maybe. I don't know. I'm not willing to compare them right now.
That's surprising coming from you. No,
I'm
just kidding.
I'm just like, because I don't know enough, I'm like, But comparing Genesis and Super Nintendo, it's strange that for you,
mm-hmm,
a person who I think enjoys RPGs more than I do, that you didn't connect to Super Nintendo because they have some really good ones.
A bit of a false perception, though, only because RPG is still far from my favorite genre of game.
Mine too, but
it's not at the bottom, but it's far from the top. Also, and I believe it was for the SNES. And see, I'm a fair man, Adam.
I know you're
fair. Super Mario RPG.
You love that game. You love it.
Blows my mind.
Yeah, you love
that
game.
And back in the day, it blew my mind, yeah.
But it also has Final Fantasy III that I don't know if that was on Sega. It has that the game with Ness. What's the name of that game? I just lost.
Earthbound.
That's a huge RPG that people love. It's got like a few, like, wow, that's like an all-time classic game.
But did it have Chester Cheetah, Too Cool to Fool?
See, now,
because he was cool.
So now, but wait a minute, because like that's the kind of thing. Hold on,
you
so
know
that's
the 7-Up
kind of
spot.
That, yeah, I know
he
that
had
game.
His own Sega
game
where he was so cool.
But see, doesn't that make you, in hindsight, pretty frustrated that Sega was like using brands and stuff to sell games that way? Because to me, that is really an argument against Genesis.
I'm actually fainting to set up my coup de grace argument against you.
I'm excited about it.
Which is that I do agree that success over long periods can be used as a metric of whether something is
good.
I won't even say good, because I believe in natural selection doesn't have an agenda, so to speak. So let's just say suited to its purpose, like achieving its goal emphatically.
Like in the Platonic sense of it? Like the form of good game or whatever?
Of what it was trying to do, it succeeded the most.
Yeah.
I think that's the most we can ever say about art is...
I think that's right.
I think I know what it was going for, and they did it.
And they achieved it.
yeah.
They achieved it.
But I would argue that a highly mitigating factor is the string of absolutely terrible business decisions Sega as a company made from day one. You pointed it out, and it's absolutely true, that they were loyalist to the
arcades. Yeah.
They still owned so many licenses on arcade franchises that they really were dedicated to the idea of porting arcade games to the home.
They probably thought they were going to get a lot of crossover gamers from that Nintendo wouldn't.
Right.
That's
what
they
believed.
Arcades
died, as we all know, and they did some very interesting things in the end when they were desperate. For example, I do think this deserves mentioning. Sega Genesis has to be the oldest system that has this, although I don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Someone correct me if I'm wrong. There was a thing you could pay $9.99 a month. I got it for Christmas for 1 year.
Oh, yeah, this was amazing.
Sega TV.
That was a good idea.
On a dial-up modem, you could download any Sega game for 24 hours, play it for free, and then it would delete off your system. You'd have to download it again or download a different one. And that was like, it's
like
way
movie
ahead
pass.
Of its time.
It was movie pass.
I mean, it's PS Now or whatever, but.
But it's movie pass in the sense that, good idea that, holy shit, did it not work?
But here's the thing. In prepping for this, all we really did, full disclosure to the audience, is spend our whole lives playing these games.
Right.
But also, look up the list of all the games released, right? That's something you would do. I have it on my phone right now for Genesis. And something I noticed is, if I tab over to Genesis exclusives, the list diminishes by probably 90%.
That's probably true in Nintendo, too.
It's less true.
It's less
true. I tried it as a test. It's much less true.
Right.
Genesis, and in fact, take this into account, no Sonic game is exclusive to the Genesis.
Not anymore. It was when it came out.
It was during the generation.
I think you have to call it
But it
that.
Was repackaged sooner than you'd think.
Yeah, but it's to make money. Like, it's like, because they were failing.
And I think Sega, because they took a failing strategy from the beginning by betting on the arcade, continuously had to take short-sighted choices to cash in quickly, which completely diluted the power of their world until they are now the lesser... blah, blah, blah. But my point being, the reason I actually think that's a pro-Genesis argument is that I do think Nintendo...
They tried shit?
I think Nintendo, in part, succeeded to the degree that it has because Sega fucked up. And I'm not saying Nintendo fucked up, but their opponent... It's like if Coke and Pepsi were equally popular and then Pepsi really made some bad moves. You wouldn't necessarily be like... Coke is so amazing they won the war, you'd be like, Pepsi's lost. They just fucked up.
I don't know that they were ever on equal footing in terms of popularity.
Like,
I'm not sure if that's true.
Right.
I want to make some points against Nintendo that are equally damning, but I want to say this one last thing about the Genesis. Genesis was always about exploiting itself for finances. And, like, I think the best example of that is how many Sonic games it made in a 5-year period of time.
And
made, like, six.
And it's
so
not,
many.
You think they made a lot once they started going downhill? No,
they were always
pumping one out every 6 months. Whereas Nintendo very clearly decided, and you can find interviews with the head honchos and the founders, and they feel this way, like, no, we are building, like, a compound that will produce a legacy that is meant to continue far into the future.
Right.
They went into it thinking that.
And they're a company who saved enough money to operate at a loss for 50 years. Like, that's the kind of company they are.
Right.
They
so
think
they can
like
still
that.
Take gameplay risks.
Yes.
They
think
still
like that.
Seem to shy away from story risks, but they go big with gameplay risks.
They don't tell that many stories. Really.
I know this is not the debate to have, but I just want to give your side points.
Sure.
Like, the one truly impressive thing is to be a company with so much money on the line and still just be like, Fuck it. Motion controls. Next one. Fuck it. You stand on a board. Next one. Fuck it. It's like a little thing that switches to different controls. I really admire that.
I like that Nintendo has stayed interested in what is the form.
Yeah.
And how can it advance?
They are formless.
I don't want to minimize the fact that Sega also had a lot of innovations like that. They just never played out the same. Like,
oh,
the Dreamcast,
God,
was a really innovative system.
And we'll get to that episode,
yeah,
some
one day.
Beautiful day. But I'll tell you, there was a Sega ring of lasers,
yeah,
you would put around.
I remember that. It didn't work, but it
garbage.
Was a good idea. But it was a good idea.
But it's only a good idea if you've tested
if
in
it
the
works.
Factory and
right.
realized that it works at all.
Right.
It didn't work at all.
Right.
It was like a break your heart on Christmas morning, broken a piece of equipment.
That's sad.
It was terrible.
So let me make a couple of counterpoints against Nintendo. So one of them is Nintendo got
we're repairing our relationship.
No, I just think we're being reasonable.
Honest, sure.
Yeah. So Nintendo got away with exploiting its own properties by creating new kinds of games where they didn't risk creating new characters. That's what Nintendo did. They're like, we're only going to use this little cast, and we're going to make pretty basic, simple games that are kind of, a lot of them are demos, really.
But,
and people are
going to
buy them because Mario's in them. Like, Mario Kart is not a robust game. The first one, it's like really fun, but it's,
they're just like,
but
look,
it's a
we
pretty
this.
Simple game.
You want more?
Yeah.
Because the next one would obviously
exactly.
be more polished.
Exactly.
But it would be like this.
Right.
Yeah.
Because like when you go back and play the greatest hits of Super Nintendo, some of those games are like, wow. Like Link to the Past is wow.
Yeah.
Super Mario World is wow. But
Super
like,
Mario World will always stand out as it being like 12 years ahead of its time.
It's
like
so
it
good.
Shouldn't have been allowed to come out yet.
It's
too advanced.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
But then again, Mario Kart.
Star Fox is just a basic, like,
yeah.
Hey, what if we had a flying franchise? Anything like, there?
They tried it.
It's really light.
It's
yeah.
not great.
It's a tepid step in that direction.
It's so clunky you can barely play it now.
But their strength as business people is from day one, you can tell that they said, and Star Fox is Nintendo,
yes.
and Donkey Kong is Nintendo.
Yes.
These are our exclusive properties. We will be making money off of Star Fox for 100 years. And someone went, really, this tech demo? I don't really see it. And they're like, no, trust us. We will grow it. Do not let go of that property. That is an exclusive.
Okay.
And I think Sega really fucked up looking at like Wikipedia lists and dates and stuff even before they lost the console war, because they had four more consoles to go before they'd give up.
Which is a lot of shots.
They even before, like between Genesis and Sega CD, they were already selling their core characters to other platforms.
Because they had to. Yeah.
Oh, Jaguar, do you want Sonic? We can work something out. And I just think they were short-sighted. They were not like, these five characters are Sega.
And people have been arguing for decades that Nintendo is eventually going to become a software company like Sega did.
And it's like, nope.
And they
never
do.
They're not going to let it happen.
Like,
and they were smart in the long run.
I mean, they've bet on themselves and succeeded. So I want to ask a couple other questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, I guess I am coming from a place where I assume people are more familiar with Nintendo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That might not be true. But like, what are, in your mind, three or four of the most memorable games from Genesis?
For SNES? For Genesis. Okay, I did. Before we ended, I wanted to go through and just talk
yeah.
about our favorite
Which
games.
Which are the ones that... Well, but I want to hear what your favorites are, but I also want to hear what you think, like, legacy-wise, a lot of people connected to.
For reasons of innovation in the medium, or I had a soft spot for it when I was a kid. Because those are different.
Or option C, they mattered to a lot of people. Is there any
See,
of those?
Yeah, that's another way in which we're different is you seem to think popularity is compelling evidence, and I don't care about popularity.
Yeah, but it isn't not evidence. It's not totally dismissible.
It is to me in the sense that I believe that if I interact with a piece of art, the impact it has on me is neither reduced or improved by whether anyone else liked it or not.
I agree.
It doesn't need
with
to be
that.
Popular to be incredibly good, powerful art.
But we are debating the merits of a console in history, and we're not debating them on just which one do we like more, because that's pointless.
But we're not just debating sales, or we could just Google sales.
But it's,
you know,
not
I mean?
Just sales. I think you can make it in a, like, popularity in terms of zeitgeist, or in terms of
sure.
critical approval, or like it, just any metric you want to use to capture that.
Okay.
I just want to hear if you have what that is to you.
I do.
Yeah.
I want to say first off, I'm not 100% on which of these are Genesis exclusives.
Okay.
Especially because, like you said, the list has changed retroactively because obviously Sonic 1 was a Genesis exclusive, but it's sure. not listed as an exclusive now because you can get it fucking anywhere. But
that's
it was
bullshit,
exclusive
it
at
was.
The time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the lists are hard to differentiate in that
okay.
way. So I'm going to list things that I associate with Genesis.
Yeah.
Please tell me, oh no, that was on SNES, you know.
I will if I remember.
If
it.
You remember, yeah. And people in the comments, feel free to correct me. King's Bounty was a huge one.
Yeah, we played a little bit of that. You
it's
and
a
I.
procedurally generated top down right. RPG that's very complex, and you can pour many hours into it. It has light RTS elements,
yeah.
which to me at the time was very innovative.
I thought it was really creative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flashback in Another World, or Out of This World, it was re-released as, which is the first thing I ever saw that was cel-shaded in design,
yeah.
and it was by the same company, because they have a very specific animation style, was a very just like awesome, mysterious, dialogueless sci-fi platformer, very haunting and disturbing.
It feels like Sega had a lot of games that would be equivalent to, or would later be, those early PC games. You know what I mean? Where you would like
Flashback was
yeah.
I played a lot on early PC
yeah, yeah, yeah.
after Genesis died.
It
yeah.
feels like Genesis had the early like edge into that. Nintendo didn't
yeah.
really do that as much.
Everyone liked Altered Beast.
Yes,
but it was just a successful arcade game.
Everybody remembers it.
Everyone likes it because it was
yeah.
a fun arcade game.
Yeah.
It was really just a hit port.
Yeah.
But yeah, Out of This World is a big one.
Did you guys have Street Fighter 2? Was that on your platform?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because if you didn't, then you got clobbered pretty hard. Because that was the
although
biggest
the fighting
game.
Games on Genesis did suck. There was Balls and Clay Fighter, which were
Clay Fighter's on Nintendo too.
Clay Fighter was a crude attempt to make a stop motion video game, and it sucked. And Balls was
yeah.
a crude attempt to make a truly 3D game, but
right.
the fighters were just balls, literally
right.
spheres.
And
they tried to
Bummer.
Give them different, like, this sphere has polka dots, and her name is Dot, and she has special moves related to dots.
And it didn't work.
Like,
no.
literally, this
like
is
the
most CG we can do,
yeah.
so let's do something.
They do try things.
Balls
I like
3D.
That.
They did have a platformer with a true 3D character named Vector Man that
well,
was
yeah,
popular
we played that,
and good.
You and I. Do I remember this correctly? And I'm not trying
did
to be
Did SNES
dick.
Have Battletoads?
I think it did.
Okay, because that was a kick-ass arcade port as well.
I remember, for some reason, Street Fighter II being substantially worse on the Genesis.
It is.
Why is it worse? What
I
happened
believe
there?
For the time, I do think the SNES is a stronger...
Just better
I think the
hardware?
Insides are better, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Did you guys have... Eternal Champions?
I don't remember.
That was a very excellent Genesis fighting game.
Okay.
With an incredibly rich backstory that like really
yeah, yeah,
appealed
yeah.
to a kid. Because it was fighters from infinite alternate timelines and dimensions are brought. So it was anything. There was like a cyborg dude. There was a Dick Tracy motherfucker
yeah, yeah.
from the 20s. It was really cool.
I can tell you that when we played the collection together, these are the games that stood out to me. The Sonic ones, obviously. But... I thought Kid Chameleon stood out.
Kid
a lot.
Chameleon's up there for me.
I thought that
Gunstar Heroes is excellent.
I thought that stood out. I thought the Comic Zone one. I thought that stood out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know how popular that was, but I did not think Rystar stood out.
Comic Zone was fairly popular.
Yeah,
Rystar was nothing.
Yeah, that didn't seem that important to me.
Decap Attack I liked, but no one knows it.
Okay, fair enough. That didn't seem like a memorable one for me.
But like you said, I
Altered
like
Beast.
Weird
I remembered.
Shit. I like
Golden Axe. You guys had Golden Axe.
Yes. Again, a lot of these are just classic arcade
right.
ports. Not that, I mean, Genesis made them. They were
right.
Genesis arcade boxes, but
right.
then they just ported them to the Genesis.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Genesis also willing to go so much darker.
They were,
because
yes.
they'll take anyone's
bloodier
money.
Bloodier and, yeah.
So, like, something that that the SNES could never give me is I'm 14. I feel old enough
right.
to deal with some blood and
right.
shit. And they won't give it to me. So, like, Sega had games like Chaka and the Forever Man.
Yeah.
Where you're death and you go with your scythe to different times and reap people. And
right.
And in between, you're in, like, death limbo. Or Fatal Rewind, where you're a robot dog. It's literally the plot of that Black Mirror episode. You're a robot dog in the future where only few humans exist, and you awaken, and all you know is to kill things.
I do kind of wonder sometimes if Super Nintendo had a segment of it that was the equivalent of what Touchstone used to be for Disney.
If you know, they could have split it off,
if they had done that,
like Nintendo Red Band,
they might. Yeah, they might honestly be the only thing in video games.
Because it's
like might be that.
It's
you know?
It's kind of the only space they left for other. They're like, other people can fill that space.
And
we
now
won't
it's so
fight
important.
You.
Now it's like
gaming
the
for
biggest
adults
thing. Yeah,
that's very interesting.
You
to
and
me,
I spent
and I had,
way more time talking about that.
I didn't think
that.
About it consciously, but Nintendo's one big thing they didn't foresee 40 years ago
or didn't want to be in,
be a part yeah. of. But I do think is that. All the gamers will one day grow up and want adult games.
Yeah.
They abdicated being a part of that in some
They were
ways.
Like, you're going to grow out of video games. This is always going to be for kids.
For kids. And either they thought that and they were wrong, or they consciously decided not to, whatever.
I think they might have been wrong. Because what company
it would
turns
have been a
down
hard
the
thing,
opportunity?
And it would have been a hard thing to predict 60 years ago.
But video games
did
are
you guys have Starflight?
I don't think so.
Starflight was No Man's Sky.
Oh.
Like, there's nothing in No Man's Sky that wasn't already invented by Starflight.
Right.
Including
you
the
and I
fact
talked about this.
That every time you loaded it, the universe was completely different.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so large you could never fully explore it. And this game was on the Genesis.
I want to take one step back, because I feel like you've named a bunch of games now.
But before we finish, there's a few more I got.
Okay, but
I can save it.
I want to take one step back and say, like, hearing you describe these games, because I didn't know a lot of these games and I haven't played a lot of them, they are all like, what a cool idea. And then you like, why didn't it work? Because they never made the version of it that hit the public imagination mm-hmm. for one reason or the other. And yet you have always been the kind of person that found that shit. You find it in video games, you find it on the internet, you find it in comic books, you find it in movies. Like, every time you and I have a conversation about, have you seen this thing and it's some weird boutique thing? Have I ever seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Never. I've never seen it. Because, like, I'm the person that, like...
You've seen Eraserhead, though.
I love Eraserhead. I own Eraserhead. But, like, in general, like, my tastes are more mainstream, I think.
Do you think you would have seen Eraserhead if not for film school?
I saw Eraserhead in, like, 2001. Way before film
school.
Okay.
So there was something in you that made you want to see
a
really weird movie.
I love weird movies.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I always had a weird taste for like actual mainstream. But like,
did Nintendo have Mutant League sports?
I don't think so.
That was really fun on Genesis. Mutant League hockey, football, baseball.
Was Splatterhouse a 16-bit game?
I believe it was.
I don't think we had that. I think you did.
Okay.
Well, Splatterhouse is a big one.
Finish your thought and then I have two games to bring up finish my argument.
The personality type, because like your resistance toward mm-hmm. does popularity matter is like not just a difficulty that you like, not just a thing that is a way of winning your argument. It's like kind of who you are.
Oh, it is.
As a human being.
Because
like,
if popularity
yeah.
matters, I am a failure in
yes,
life.
Yes, same.
I have to believe that the small fan base we've gathered around us is responding to something real in our work that's good. Because if I just went, well, so-and-so gets 10 times as many hits on their shit, they're 10 times as good as me.
Right.
That would
not
be a way
true.
To live.
Yeah.
yeah.
No,
yeah.
And that's not true. I mean, you and I being in the internet business, I mean, you and I have both made things that we loved,
mm-hmm.
in fact, together sometimes, that never performed, that like they just never reached the same audience that
no matter
said
how
an
many
After
years,
Hours did.
No matter how many Halloweens I retweet Who Fucked This Pumpkin, it won't get as
one.
Many views as I think it deserves.
Right. Well, I remember a video you and Abe made called Man vs. Mountain, and I don't know what we actually titled it on the site, but I remember...
If you want to look it up, its site title was If Michael Bay Made a Documentary. Which
okay.
is a terribly misleading
like title
for
yeah.
what it is, yeah.
So that is one of my favorite things that we ever made at Cracked. And people probably haven't seen it. It's partly just because of the connection to the people that made it, but also I just think it's really funny.
You just like watching me eat dirt. See? He laughs.
Yeah, but wasn't that the point of you doing it?
That's why I chose to do it.
And I did
it.
Laugh.
Yeah, so
it works.
I guess I'm happy.
So it works, yeah. Like, and I like Pride and Prejudice in Space. That's one you and I made together.
Yes.
And I don't think people ever...
title, if characters knew that they were in fictional books. Some, if you search that, you'll find it.
You and I, that was like the second video you and I ever made together.
Mm-hmm. The first and being Last Hitler Stash.
Last Hitler Stash. the second video you and I ever made together, I loved that video.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody saw it. So like those are points in your favor.
Much love to the people listening who saw it, because there's certainly people listening to this who have seen it.
Certainly.
But, yeah.
But the point being, like, you're right.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, you're right.
No one's like, not on the level of whatever PewDiePie shits out every morning, millions of people. So again, I can't just say, well, PewDiePie's Coke and he's good because he has a million.
Right.
No, he sucks. Like, I can still watch his video and go, it's not good though. It's bad.
But in your heart, so now I'm going to ask you honestly, is there a Genesis game that's as good as Super Mario World?
Yes, that's what I'm going to bring up.
I'm ready for this, because I will have a hard time.
But first, I just want to know some things, if it's okay.
Of course.
About crossover. Did you guys have the Road Rash franchise?
I think we might have. I don't remember.
Do you have this?
I don't have the internet in front of me because it's redacted.
No. I just want to know if you remember. You don't need to... Yeah, people don't hold him to this like he's looking it up. Did you guys have the Shadowrun game, which was a very deep RPG, cyberpunk RPG? It was fucking awesome.
I don't think we did, no.
Shadowrun was... Then that stands out to me. Speaking of RPGs, did you have the Shining in the Darkness series? Those were excellent.
Nope.
Bart's Nightmare or Bart versus the Space Mutants?
I think you guys had the Simpsons exclusivity for a while.
Those two, especially Bart's Nightmare, was fucking awesome. Soldies?
Honestly, you can look it up better than I can because I'm not getting internet. I don't know the answer.
This is the only page I can have open.
Okay, sorry.
Super Smash TV, the arcade game that's incredibly violent and bloody where you're overhead and
probably
you
not.
Go shoot. So I think something I arrived at that didn't even occur to me when we were leading up to this episode is their ability to have violence in games, even though I'm not someone who's a glutton for violence, actually is a bigger card than I thought in Sega Genesis's hand.
I thought that was always one of their sales pitches.
That didn't occur to me, but it does now, and I'm like, yeah, it is. That is a cool thing.
Nintendo kind of always left that flank open.
Yeah.
They were kind of always like, look, if you want to do, you know, Mortal Kombat, you can do that.
I didn't know Toe Jam and Earl is so funky and weird, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
I assumed it was a Genesis exclusive, but apparently that was on SNES. I didn't know that.
Really? When did it make its... I thought it was an exclusive.
Oh, but earlier in this episode, you used Toe Jam and Earl as your save point.
I used it as a save point to talk about Genesis.
You were supposed to be doing Nintendo.
Oh, I apologize.
Confused me. Okay,
I used it as a checkpoint to talk about Genesis.
So there's two I'll bring up. One you'll laugh off, and I love you, so I hope you get a good laugh off of it.
Okay.
but I think, and I'm not... Okay, I think you phrased the question in a way that is asking for the answer you want, and I can give that to you if you
that
want.
That is what Adam does.
Because I don't know what better or good means in that context. So sure,
that
Super
you like
Mario
better
World
or think
better.
Is better.
Okay, so no, because it's not as fun to play. But I don't know that being fun to play is what a video game is, the only task it has.
Right.
But there is one I think wins on all fronts. So first one I'll bring up, which I think is the epitome of, I just think it sums up everything we've been talking about. It is the other notable Sega mascot that they tried to make a mascot, even though it failed.
Yeah.
Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah, Echo's fun.
The amount of gaming innovation and the sheer weirdness and the disturbing, haunting melancholy of that game, and the way that in Act 3, suddenly you're in space fighting aliens as a dolphin, and you have to navigate through bubbles of water, like jump from one to the next in space, and that you use echolocation to access the world map and shit. Endlessly innovative and endlessly weird. Like, why did you make this a game in the way that is the epitome of what appeals to me about Sega?
Okay.
So then the other game...
I think that makes sense. I don't agree with you, but I think it makes sense.
Again, I didn't say it's better than Super Mario World.
No.
I said it epitomizes what I've been saying this whole episode.
I think it
is
does.
What I like about Sega.
I agree with that.
And then you'll still disagree, and that's fine. But a game I genuinely find more fun to play than Super Mario World, that is also infinitely better looking and evocative and just detailed and cool and imaginative, Earthworm Jim. Earthworm,
that was also on Super
God
Nintendo.
Damn it. Then you win. Because I really think as I was saying, Sega's big weakness is it had exclusives. Earthworm Jim was made by Sega programmers.
Yeah.
So they must have allowed it to be ported.
Yeah.
And I think they're fools for not holding on to their IPs in the way Nintendo has. And Sega owned it. And at the beginning, it says Sega.
Yeah.
So they must have allowed it to get ported because they wanted the money. And I think that's why Sega died ultimately.
I haven't done the research on the history of Earthworm Jim, but I remember playing it on the Super
Nintendo. So you win. Because Earthworm Jim's probably my best volley because it's so weird. You know that could never be on Nintendo unless they just ported it over. But the fact that they allowed it to be ported
is... I'm pretty sure.
I turn to Sega and go like, see? There's your problem. That's where you fucked up.
Yeah.
Is Nintendo's over here going, no, you can't have Mario. We're doing something with Mario.
Of course you can.
We have a plan for Mario.
Right.
And Sega's like, you want Altered Beast? Fine. Yeah. You want Sonic in your Mario game? Fine.
Yeah, yeah.
That really killed him. It really killed him.
That sucks.
But in the end, I would say, you know what we think, and it's based on like, yeah, it depends what you personally think about Coke versus Pepsi, popularity versus being indie and knowing the cool underground thing. You know, everyone has to have different
priorities. I haven't totally conceded those categories to you.
That's
but
fine.
I want to have this conversation one last way, and that is, assume that I'm a kid and I like Nintendo. I play and enjoy Nintendo games. Tell me why I would want to, if I could only have one game system, sell my Super Nintendo to buy a Genesis.
If you're a kid?
Yeah.
For me, this argument would work on me immediately.
Right.
But I understand if you weren't that kind of kid.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Pitch it to a different kid.
It would be, you know, what are you doing? You're just jumping around? Everything's so bright. This looks like Teletubbies or something. You know, I got this Sega game where I play the Grim Reaper and I go back in time to kill George Washington
more
to change
adult
the future.
Stuff. More adult
Not
stuff.
Only adult, but it's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, who are you? I'm a middle-aged plumber. Did you know there's a Sega game where you play as a dolphin who goes to space?
Yeah.
And as a kid, I would have gone, that does sound more interesting than this.
So,
because there's a cohesive elevator pitch. Whereas the elevator pitch for, as I say, with Nintendo games is what you do in it. The elevator pitch for Mario is, it's a very tight 2D platformer. The elevator pitch for Echo the Dolphin is, imagine a dolphin who suddenly becomes sentient because of alien interference and has to travel to space to fight an invasion. It's not about what you do. It's about, what a cool idea.
See, now, I just want to make one other, and this might seem snide to you, and I don't mean it to be. I think the elevator pitch for every Nintendo game is you hand a kid a controller and let them play it, and they instantly connect to it. I think, and this is just my opinion, that the pitch for Genesis is largely what a cool idea.
I actually agree.
Yeah. And no, I think what a cool idea is one level of immediacy abstraction that not everybody makes. Some people do.
I'll say this. I had both systems and I played them about the same amount.
That's the first time I've known.
SNES is fun to play.
Oh, okay.
The only thing my friends and I would talk about are the plot elements and characters from Sega games.
Now that's interesting.
Because what are you going to say?
Right, you're not going to talk about it. Yeah, you're right.
Because my friends and I did what we called adventure stories, where we'd spend all of basically playing D&D without dice and paper. Someone would go, okay, I'm the story master. This is happening.
Right.
And you're Earthworm Jim.
Right.
What do you do next? If I brought some weak ass if I said, you're Mario and there's a platform, and they said, well, I jump and I hit the brick and then I pick up the coin. That's hella boring.
Yeah.
But if you say, you're Chakan, the restless soul, and you must reap 1,000 souls to return to your flesh body, which period of time do you want to go reaping in? That really gets a kid going, oh, which period of time do I want to reap in?
It does, like, as a log line for kids,
yeah.
Every Sega game sounds cool as a log line. It does. I'm not dismissing
that. Sometimes to a fault. It's like all they focused on.
I would argue that the actual experience of playing those games largely benefits Nintendo. Not exclusively, but largely.
Echo the Dolphin's clunky to control.
Right.
The how enraptured you are of the idea has to fuel you through to the end of the game.
Right.
Because you're like, I want to see what they do with this weird story.
And that was so funny.
Whereas Super Mario World is a joy. It's like effortlessly delightful to play.
I've played through Super Mario World at age 12 or whatever age I was when it came out, and at age 37, like I still like it. It's awesome.
Kid Chameleon's still not where Super Mario World is, but it's the closest Genesis ever had. It's still a really fun platformer to play through.
You and I had a lot of fun. We played like, what, 2 hours? We had a good time playing that.
I think it's the only Genesis game that ever stepped to Mario even remotely.
I thought that it was almost as, or it was like a slightly better version of like Kid Icarus or some game like that.
Yeah.
You know, like it was, Kid Icarus is kind of clunky.
That's one of the few failed ones. That's a Nintendo franchise where they still do service to their history where they're like, Pit is in Smash Brothers.
People love that guy. I don't
get it. But they are not mainlining like flagship Kid Icarus games.
No.
I remember when they tried to launch it with like Kid Icarus 1, 2, 3. They're like, nah, no one likes Kid Icarus.
It's really working. Yeah. I like the music, but the game itself is not so great. Did you guys have Castlevania?
Yes.
Okay.
I skipped it because I assumed you had Castlevania.
Yeah, we had Castlevania.
I think Castlevania's...
It's interesting.
Castlevania's a whore. It was a game on every platform.
It's also kind of a clunky game.
I don't like Castlevania or Contra games.
I don't like Contra either, but Contra is on that Nintendo collection.
But who am I to
talk? They got them all in there.
Because I like Decap Attack. And Decap Attack is one of the clunkiest platformers I've ever played.
Can I say one other weird thing? And this is like there's so many games from that era that are medieval in theme.
Yeah.
Like Super Ghouls and Ghosts or like King's Bounty.
Did you guys
have
Rampart?
Yes, everybody had
Rampart. Okay, that was a great game.
That was an arcade game. Got ported.
Yeah, it's just a really tight puzzle game, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Kix? Q-Y-X?
I think we did.
All right,
but
continue.
It's been a bit. Yeah. I feel like we've adequately discussed this topic. How do you feel about
it? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. If you had to buy one of these systems now, which one would you buy? Still Genesis?
Yeah.
Would you? That's interesting.
My hesitation was that I wanted to be honest.
Yeah, your opinion is more up for grabs about this than mine is.
You phrased it in a way where I'd answer yes, but you could have phrased it other ways where I would have said no.
I wanted to be fair.
Which one would I buy as an adult if I could only buy one, and it would still be Genesis because I'm still the type of person to whom the world in the elevator pitch actually, if I'm honest, matters more than whether the game is fun to play.
You and I have that conversation about a lot of things, actually. We do. We do have that conversation. That is interesting. I don't have any nostalgia for Genesis.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid back appeal and down home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I've never had any real, actual hostility for it, only for fun against you.
Mm-hmm.
But when we played it together, I still remain impressed with how much creativity was in that system that was never, it just never landed
and that's,
in the same way.
That's why the way you phrased it, I would still purchase the Genesis because it would be a library of a bunch of things that fire my imagination. Whereas, can you name things on the SNES?
That fired imagination?
No. Like, I just went through the list and named my favorite games.
Yeah.
And you've mostly been naming Super Mario World.
Name all
the other ones.
Oh, Link to the Past, Mario Kart.
Is there anything outside
Donkey Kong
the
Country.
Mothership franchises?
I mean,
Did it have any? It had to have some.
All those
other
RPGs I was talking about.
Okay, yeah. They had to have Super some third-party games. Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Super
okay.
Castlevania.
Stuff like that. Okay, yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
They had a ton of shit like that.
Oh, did you guys have Zombies Ate My Neighbors? That was a really good game.
I don't know
that was
about that.
Pretty fucking good.
I'm trying to remember what else I had on the Super Nintendo as a kid.
I was just wondering if you had fond memories for any games that aren't the big six.
Yeah.
Like Metroid, Mario, Donkey Kong.
But the truth is, see, now I had never played Super Metroid until like 6 months ago.
It's fucking good.
It's amazing. Yeah. I missed that one as a kid. Yeah. Mostly I was the kid who got the main, like I only got one game a year and they were usually the big titles.
That's another thing that's notable is I think Nintendo is a system where you buy into the AAA flagship franchises or why are you here?
I wouldn't
Whereas
own
Genesis,
a Switch if I didn't like Mario and
Genesis
Zelda
is a library of things that are all of equal import and you can decide what kind of games you like.
I think that's true.
I think Nintendo is, you're buying into, you better like Nintendo games.
Right. Well, but sadly, Nintendo has created a model that all these consoles now kind of have to compete in. Like Xbox and PlayStation now kind of are competing over the same over their exclusives.
Well, just as someone who loves indie games, and for very many of the same reasons as we just discussed that I love Genesis, I do seek out and crunch through many, like maybe 3 indie games a week I'll finish.
Do you really?
Yeah. I really, really like short indie games, and I make it my business to like keep up on them.
Okay.
And I have not seen one that's available on the PlayStation Network or on the Switch that is not also available on the PlayStation Network. Not a one ever. Hmm. And in fact, they're always available on PlayStation first.
Like, and I don't know why I'm reading that in blogs and stuff.
If Flame in the Flood is out on PlayStation now, it'll come out in 6 weeks on the Switch.
Then I must have read something wrong.
But I wasn't trying to make you feel like you had to be in a place where you have to say, I'm wrong.
You're fine,
it wasn't a dick measuring thing.
Somebody has to have a bigger dick.
I was trying.
We don't have an exactly the same size dick.
You don't know that.
I don't.
Again,
I don't know
you
that.
Don't know that, and you're making assertions.
I almost found that out. What was the name of that video we did when you wanted to do full nudity?
Skinny dipping? The skinny dipping video, yeah.
And I was like, dude, we can't do it. And you're like, no, we have to. And
oh, I just wore a little dick pouch, right?
That's right.
Now.
But what makes me laugh is for the audience's sake, the argument you and I had behind the scenes about that was like, are we going to show your dick on the site? And you were like, I think we need to. And I was like, I don't think that we're going to be able to do that. And if we're not going to be able to do that, I can't have you doing it in real life. And like, we decided, right? Wasn't that the argument?
I believe I said, because another thing is, I'm very confident in my sexuality. I have a partner I love very much.
Right.
And I'm a grower, not a shower, so I feel comfortable saying, I feel like I said on the day, I was like, but it's funny, dude. You don't understand, when I'm not like with a woman or getting down to business, my dick's humorously small. Like, it's going to play really funny. You're going to want my little acorn dick in the shot. It's uncircumcised. People think that's funny. And you're like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I remember this conversation. It's just like, it's just such a stupid thing to talk
and
about for
like,
work.
Well, are you a real artist or not? I mean, are you dedicated to your ideals or
classic.
Are you not?
Yeah. I love it. I love that.
Is this a toy or is this a story?
And
what
I was
it?
Like, yeah. And I was like, dude, I just got to get this video made. It's like, that's where we are right now. Yep.
Yeah.
I remember that very distinctly. Well, I feel like we did good here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we did good here. I feel like I need to play more Genesis.
No, because that's how I lose.
Don't play it. Just know about
it.
I see.
I do like things like that. Like, for example, Marvel Comics, the actual comics that come out weekly. I have always intensely loved and been fascinated by
funny
copying the art, learning about the backstory, discussing with my friends what makes Spider-Man interesting and how his powers would match up with Galactus or whatever. Then I sit down to read a comic and I go, this is just boring, poorly written, like soap opera of the week bullshit.
I liked the trading cards because they kind of let you do that without having to read the books.
Well, I'll say Sega is that I can dress it up real nice and make it seem really good.
That's a big concession here.
Until you sit down and play Echo the Dolphin and then play Super Mario World and turn to the kid and go, which one was more fun? Mario World's going to win every time.
See, I mean, yeah.
But if you turn to me as a kid and went, yeah, but which one are you going to like dream about tonight? It would be the Sega one almost every time.
I think that matters.
Yeah.
I don't think that's irrelevant. I think that matters, you know? I feel a little cheated as a kid not having been exposed to it as much.
Mm.
You know? Because I just wonder whether I would be a little bit more imaginative.
I felt cheated because after SNES, that was the last Nintendo system I had because I did get a fanboy feeling and started to only buy the Genesis consoles. So at the worst possible time, I became a loyalist. So I only got to play like Game Gear, 32X,
so you never had a 64, huh?
Sega's out of business.
you never had a 64?
No, I had to play at my friend's house, and it's a very important system.
Those were good games.
To miss out on.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to talk about Sega CD someday.
I want to talk about that too.
I think it has the most hidden gems of any system.
Yeah.
Where it's like, why should I buy a Sega CD? Well, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
But if you have money to waste, there's like four games that are only on Sega CD that are fucking rad.
So if you guys liked this format and liked this kind of conversation, let us know in the comments. Don't let us know in the comments which of us is wrong. Don't. I'm not going to read that. I'm going to look at it and go, no.
We can't stop them from doing that.
If you do it, all that's going to happen is my eyes are going to glaze over.
That's fine.
And fury will erupt from my eye.
Adam Glazer.
Adam Glazed Ganser. No, but seriously, if you like this format, let us know in the comments and we'll be doing more of it.
Yeah, I'd even love to do... There were other... Like, even if we finished systems, I'd be interested in...
Revisiting?
2D platforming. No, had a very special time. I know Rayman Legends and Origins is keeping the legacy alive, but like it had a day where like dinosaurs, it ruled the earth.
Right.
What can we learn about that? What did it mean? What does it say? Why no more?
Yeah.
You know?
Why is that not a major release cycle?
Because now we are an open world people.
Yeah.
We are an open world game.
Everything is a 3D
civilization.
Three-dimensional realized world. Yeah.
Much like that motorcycle that just drove by, I hope you heard or it'll sound weird, but we're in a three-dimensional world.
We are.
And we're leaving now.
We are.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.